are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, December the 6th in Indiana, in town tonight. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Not sure if you can tell from the voice, but yeah, we've got the Jordan flu game going here today. Your boy, Matt, under the weather and still delivering for you at odd hours. Got a little bit of sleep already on Thursday night. Plan to do some more here on Friday morning. Not exactly sure how we're going to power through the weekend. Got a busy work weekend with the MAC championship game in town at Ford Field. My Central Michigan Chippewas also heading out to the Breslin Center on Sunday to go see Michigan State basketball. So going to be a busy weekend, but also a fun one, as we'll be checking out the Pistons game probably on TV, unless maybe I'll go score some cheap tickets after the press conference for the MAC championship on Friday. More information than you need to know about my weekend, but just kind of sympathize with your boy as we get the podcast done, final one for the week. But today we're going to give the skinny on tonight's game against the Indiana Pacers. And like I said, I got the Mid-American Conference on my mind, so doing a little deep dive with some old stuff. Curious guy over here, just figured maybe we could check in on Central, Western, and Eastern, their histories with NBA players, and also the Pistons in particular. All three schools have some alums who played for the Pistons. We'll dive into who had the most and who had the most players in the league as well. We do this sometimes, especially on Fridays, do some weird tangents. And hopefully you guys enjoy my trip down memory lane with you. And we're also going to hit the Google voicemail line a little bit later on as well. Got Brandon queued up for today. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Appreciate you guys and all you do to share and all that good stuff, and putting up when I have a bad voice and a head cold and all that good stuff. But the Pistons will close the season series, hard to believe, tonight with the Indiana Pacers. The first team in the NBA that they will be all done with for the season already here in early December. And that's a divisional opponent that you play four times. Just an unbelievable schedule quirk there. And a good one for the Pistons, as all four games are coming without Victor Oladipo. So their all-star forward, their best player, their all-star guard, sorry, their best player, and the Pistons don't have to play him at all this season. Playoffs notwithstanding, would be fun to see the Indiana Pacers. Don't necessarily see how that happens anytime this season, because certainly if the Pistons get in, they're going to be playing one of the top, you know, two or three seeds in the playoffs, and I don't see Indiana getting up to that level, although they should be in that middle class of the Eastern Conference playoff race where they've resided for several years now, kind of in some ways the model middle-class franchise in the NBA right now, with a team that never tanked, always tries to stay competitive, always is competitive, plays hard, has good coaching in Nate McMillan, but of course there's that ceiling, right? I mean, they're kind of the Pistons, but the next level, in that the Pistons have hung around in this mediocre phase for a long time. The Pacers have no doubt been a better franchise than the Pistons over the past several years. But, you know, they're probably having the same kind of discussions at a higher level than Pistons fans are, in that, do we take a kind of a step back so we can get to that championship level? You know, there's no world where these Indiana Pacers compete for a title, but there's no world in the past 5 or 6 years where they haven't been mentioned as a conference or in a playoff team in the Eastern Conference, or at least competing for a playoff spot. So like I said, kind of in some ways mirrors the Pistons, but in a better mode right now for the Indiana Pacers. The Pistons do lead the Pacers in the season series right now, 2-1. Would be nice to win this season series and improve on the red letter games. We talk about those as teams that I see as being peers in the Eastern Conference, and those are more important than regular games, because not only are you getting a win against them, but you'd be handing a loss to a team you're competing with in the Eastern Conference standings. Orlando, Miami, Indiana, Brooklyn, and Toronto are those teams this year, although I definitely need to knock Toronto off that list. We'll do that sometime. But 4-2 for the Pistons right now in these red letter games. A lot of the strength of that based on the 2-1 record against these Indiana Pacers. So we'll see if that can continue working in the Pistons' favor. So far right now, they are handling those games pretty well. That's the only real group of games that they're doing well against. 0-4 against the good teams in the East, and 3-7 against the bad teams. So those are obviously bad marks right there, and 1-1 against the West, pretty much non-negligible right now for that mark. But the Pistons overall coming in 8-14, tied with the Chicago Bulls for 10th place in the Eastern Conference, 2.5 games. Outside the playoffs, Orlando is at 10-11 right there. The Pistons are 6-5 at home at Little Caesars Arena right now, so I guess that's a good thing. Definitely is compared to their 2-9 road record. Indiana, on the other hand, comes in at 14-7, one of the hottest teams in the league, firmly in the playoffs. Like I said, Oladipo should be coming back soon. They got to be feeling good. In the Circle City, Malcolm Brogdon has been great for them. Milwaukee will likely rue the day if they're not already, but they let him walk because they were too cheap to pay the tax, certainly. Milwaukee getting it done without Brogdon right now, but you wonder what that will look like come playoff time when Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe are going to be asked to carry a lot of the load for players that, you know, we'll see if they rise to the occasion, but I've got my doubts. Indiana is 14-4 since an 0-3 start that included two losses to the Pistons in their first three games. Sabonis and Turner figuring out how to play together, but also Nate McMillan doing a pretty good job of staggering their minutes. Interesting with Indiana always because it's one of the few teams in the NBA that is invested in the front court, kind of mirrors the Pistons roster in that way too, with Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin being two of the focal points, the two highest paid players in the team. Similarly in Indiana with Miles Turner and Sabonis there, you got those two, plus you also invested a lot of the organizational draft capital in first round pick Goga Bitadze, who has played well in spurts for Nate McMillan too. No more Thad Young. Last year, they were a little bit more front court heavy. Thad Young, obviously, on the Bulls now. But Miles Turner, the scoring down a little bit this year. He scored 10 points a game as a rookie and got 14 as a second-year guy and looked like someone who was just going to kind of break out and evolve from there. He'd figure he'd keep adding things to his offensive game, get the increased role as years go on, just like the natural progression of a young NBA career. But no, he kind of since then, the 10-14 first 2 years, and then went to 12-13, and now he's back to 12.2, his worst scoring average since he was a rookie in this league. So interesting to see that he hasn't really taken off from a scoring perspective for Indiana, so keep an eye on him tonight. Another guy to keep an eye on is Edmund Sumner, kind of a glue guy guard who came up through the G League a little bit from Detroit Country Day, also went to Xavier. He's back after missing the last 18 games with a broken hand that he suffered, I believe, during that game in Detroit against the Pistons. The Pacers were 0-3 with Edmund Sumner on the team. So maybe this is the best news for Detroit that the hometown guy is coming back to the line. Maybe he'll just screw everything up for the Pacers. Doubtful. But we can keep our fingers crossed about that Edmund Sumner's season continues without a win, you know, as he returns tonight at home in front of hopefully some friendly faces. Check him out. And maybe the Locked On Pistons podcast won't dog him for the rest of the night. I'm just kidding. Edmund Sumner's a fine player, someone the Pistons will be lucky to have on their bench. But we'll see if his presence screws up something in the rotation. Maybe it's a real thing. Who knows? But the spreads that I've seen is that the Pistons are 3 or 3.5-point dogs. I guess 3.5 before looking it up, so I feel pretty good about myself there. But the other Pistons news that kind of came out from Thursday's injury report is that Sekou Doumbouya is headed back to the Grand Rapids Drive in the G League. I'm pleased with that. I think it's good to see get back to playing some minutes. Give him a taste, but now, you know, go dominate down there. Earn your way back to Detroit. Get him hungry a little bit. He scored the first NBA hoop, a couple hoops, a dunk. You know, get that out of the way as well. So best case scenario for Sekou Doumbouya. I know some of you guys wanted him to see some more minutes in a couple of those blowouts, but all three of the blowouts, really, if you include the Milwaukee game. So I don't have a problem with it. I mean, Dwayne Casey's doing his thing. You know, I don't know. Maybe you don't want to stick the 18-year-old out there and you know, overwhelm him and give him some bad feelings about the NBA if you stuck him out there for more time against some of the NBA regulars out there. But so we'll see how he does. The Drive are home tonight for the College Park Seahawks and then play a home-and-home against the Seahawks on the road on Sunday afternoon. So, but the Pistons, meanwhile, after tonight, have the Saturday and Sunday portion of the weekend off before returning to action at New Orleans on Monday. and then nothing after that until a week until Thursday, when they're going to be at Mexico City to take on the Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks in what is technically a home game for the Detroit Pistons. And then after that, they're going to be heading back to the States for a game Saturday night in Houston. So not a lot of games next week. We'll come up with some interviews and other fun stuff here for content on the Locked On Pistons podcast. We're going to be talking Mid-American Conference hoops next, Eastern, Central, Western. Who's been throwing more players in the NBA and the Pistons over the years? That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we're going to hear from Brandon on the Google voicemail line. But, you know, I got the CMU Chippewas on my mind this week. The football team is in town in Detroit City playing the MAC Championship against the Miami of Ohio Redhawks. I'll be in the house at Ford Field right across the street from my apartment Saturday. That's a noon start, by the way. So be sure to have ESPN2 on the ready noon on Saturday, not the usual nighttime. And if you want to come down and get tickets, come have a good time with us. I'll actually be at the alumni gathering at Punchbowl Social on Saturday morning. I might even have a drink, even though I'm working the game. What's a little mimosa between friends before a college football game, meeting up with some of the college friends and having a good time, and then working the game for the Detroit News and also the Associated Press. So the double dip, the freelancer dream, as you can imagine. But like I said, it's got the Mid-American Conference on my mind this week. Jim McElwain has done a great job with the CMU program in one season as football coach. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the sad news from Mount Pleasant this week is Don Chido, who is the broadcaster up there, play-by-play for the football and the basketball team. Tragically, he passed away this week from a car accident that he had near Mount Pleasant. I know of Don. I actually never met Don because we kind of missed each other. I think he worked at CMU, went to CMU, and worked there for a while, and then went away from CMU, and then after I was gone, he actually came back. But everyone that I know that knows Don, you know, all over social media, Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff, everyone's just saying about how much of a mensch he was, and obviously I believe everything that everyone's saying about him. So rest in peace to Don Chido, who did a lot of great stuff for CMU. And not only that, but he was someone who didn't just broadcast games, but from what I gather about Don, he was very active in the community, served on boards all over the place, worked with the local public school districts to try to improve their situations, and was a guy who was very active in the community and didn't just sit on the sidelines of life. And I think we can all kind of learn a lesson from that. You know, obviously you got our own stuff that we do personally, professionally, family-wise, and all that good stuff. But I think we could all probably find some room in our daily and weekly and monthly and yearly lives to kind of spread our wings a little bit and do whatever we can to help out the community, whether that's some volunteering, serving on the boards, or whatever. I'm sure that there's a million things you can do to help out your community, and I would just encourage you guys, as you look ahead to 2020 and start mapping out what your 2020 is going to look like, take your stock of how 2019 went, and as we all kind of do this time of year, I would encourage you guys to all kind of think about that. I know it's tough. I know it's everyone's got a limited amount of time. We've all got our own things. But, you know, in memory of guys like and people like Don, maybe that's something to think about as you look ahead. But so rest in peace to Don. And thanks for everything that you did. And if anyone from that is close to him is listening, or family members or anything like that, he is loved and we appreciate everything he did, and fire up chips on behalf of the Locked On Pistons podcast. But talking Central Michigan and Western Michigan and Eastern, obviously we're going to tie this back to the NBA. I was just kind of curious, guys, sitting here like, hey, Western, Central, Eastern, rivals in every sport, obviously, especially on the Central and Western side. Who has played the most players in the NBA? Who has sent most players in the NBA? Who has sent the most players to the Pistons? And who are some of those better players? So can we come up with some metrics? Can we figure it out? I'm going to start with Western Michigan just because they're at the bottom. They're tied for the bottom of the most Pistons in the NBA, and they're the bottom in terms of the players that they sent to the NBA as well. And this is all coming from basketballreference.com, so I didn't, you know, do deep dives into the archives of the program. It's possible that the database might have missed a player here and there, and if you know of something, please feel free to pass along that information. But the Western Michigan Broncos, like I said, come up in third place by only sending 7 players to the NBA, and they tied another one of the schools by only sending 3 players to the Pistons in their careers. And really, the Pistons that they sent, I'm going to be honest, it's an underwhelming list. the most kind of relevant name and someone that we know of here in the Detroit area is Walker Russell Sr., who played a few years in the NBA in the mid-80s, including four different seasons with the Detroit Pistons, came in as a fourth-round pick in 1982 and played 68 games as a rookie, I believe maybe the same year that or probably the year after Zeke came in to Detroit. And was someone who got 11 minutes a game. So was it kind of a real piece of the Detroit Pistons? Maybe someone that could have turned into a future real contributor, but just kind of the career kind of fizzled out a little bit. Don't know if it was injuries. Again, this is a little bit before my time. His son, Walker Russell Jr., is about my age, played at Rochester High. I never played basketball against him in high school. He went on to play at Jacksonville State and also became a member of the Detroit Pistons in a very limited capacity. I remember that. So Walker Russell, Oakland County guy, became a member of the Detroit Pistons as well. But that doesn't help Western on this list. Other than Walker Russell, there's a couple names that are from the way back, and we're going to credit Western for this, but there are a couple guys who played for the Fort Wayne Pistons. And that is Don Bovin, who played for the Fort Wayne Pistons in 52-53, and also a gentleman named Dillard Crocker, who played for the Fort Wayne Pistons in 1948-49. I'm sure some of you guys remember Dillard Crocker and his 3 points per game season of two games for the Fort Wayne Pistons in 48-49, way back in the day. So that's the Western Michigan Broncos. And I mean, as far as like guys that didn't play for the Pistons that had real good careers, there's a Paul Griffin from the late 70s, early 80s, who had a long NBA career. I don't know. I never heard of him. So I'm sure maybe some of the hoop heads out there maybe have heard that name. The other thing that's sad about this whole exercise that we're doing here with Western and Central and Eastern is that there are no active NBA players from either of these three schools. Very, very sad there. That makes me. But Shane Whittington of Western last played in 2016. And as you know, I'm kind of going through back and forth. And Chris Kamen, whose career lasted until 2016 of Central, and Shane Whittington are the last two NBA players to play from either of the three schools. So kind of a sad list there as we're 3 years removed from anybody from these three schools playing in the NBA. You know, we'll see if anyone sticks on here in these next few years. These teams are not on top of their games right now, but there's always some randoms out there. But let's move on to the Eastern Michigan Eagles. 11 players that have played in the NBA, the most out of these three schools. 3 players that have played on the Pistons, tying for second place on this list here. And obviously, what the feather in the cap for Eastern, in addition to sending the most players to the NBA, is they have sent the best player out of this whole group to the NBA. And that, of course, is George Gervin, the Iceman, the Hall of Famer. So, you know, obviously a feather in the cap for the Eastern Michigan Eagles to be able to send him to the NBA and play a whole bunch of seasons and make the Hall of Fame. But as far as players that played for the Detroit Pistons, there's one obvious one that you guys know, but we'll start with less obvious. Harvey Marlott, who played 3 seasons for the Pistons in the early 70s. That was his only NBA taste. Pretty nondescript, but he played 61 games, more than you and I played in the NBA. Next up is Charles Thomas, who I don't remember, but this is the early 90s, so I guess I should remember. Played 36 games for the Detroit Pistons, averaged 1.3 points per game in 91-92. So Charles Thomas, I guess the year after the championship seasons for the Bad Boys, played for the Detroit Pistons. Don't remember that myself. And of course, the third member of the old Eastern Michigan Eagles to play for the Detroit Pistons is friend of the show, Grant Long, who is an analyst on Fox Sports Detroit, who has been on Locked On Pistons. We all know Grant. He played a couple of seasons for the Pistons, most notably with the Miami Heat and Atlanta Hawks. But like I said, a couple seasons for the Pistons, long NBA career. An outstanding piece of longevity that Grant Long was able to put together. 1,003 games in the NBA. Salute to Grant Long there. Some of their notables, of course, is Earl Boykins is another name that we have. I made my list that we'll reveal here in a little while of the top, the starting five plus a sixth man for the guys from Central and Western and Eastern. No Western players made this list. But let's round up with the Central Michigan Chippewas, who have sent 8 players to the NBA throughout program history, second most in this list. But the four players played for the Detroit Pistons, so they actually won this little exercise that we did here. The four players who play for the Pistons are Ben Kelso. You know Ben Kelso if you're from around here. He's been a longtime coach in Detroit basketball circles, most notably in the PSL. He was with Cooley High when I was in high school. He's also been with Southfield, and I think he came back and is still coaching, if I remember correctly, in the PSL. He only played 46 games one season with the Detroit Pistons, his only NBA action in 1973-74, so that's Ben Kelso. Next up, Jim McElroy, who played with the Detroit Pistons in 1979-78 for 36 games and had a nice little career in the late 70s, early 80s of the NBA. Next up is Ben Paquette, who was a legendary member of the Central Michigan Chippewas in the mid-70s and went on to have a long NBA career, including the first two seasons of his career with the Detroit Pistons in the late 70s, was a second-round pick for the Pistons. He's out at East Lansing, and like I said, I think the number retired up at Central. A very good Central Michigan Chippewa, and even better Central Michigan Chippewa from the past is I believe, his old college teammate from the 70s, Dan Roundfield, who ended up being a three-time All-Star with the Atlanta Hawks, but he played one season with the Detroit Pistons in 1984-85, and 10 points a game in that year as well. Just a really productive player. He came out of Detroit Chadsey in the PSL and was a second-round pick for the Cleveland Cavaliers in 1975. Five times all-defensive player and all-NBA in 79-80 as well. So really one of the cream of the crops of Michigan and Detroit and Central Michigan history in terms of basketball players. But up next, I'm going to reveal who the power rankings are, the starting five for players from Central, Western, and Eastern. And I'll also hand over a sixth man, and then a little bit later on, we're going to hear from Brandon on the Google voicemail line. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and two more notes from my Mid-American Conference in-state exercise. I know you guys haven't heard quite enough. I was bothered by the fact that Eastern Michigan sent more players to the NBA than the Chippewas at 11-8. So I found a stat, cherry-picked a stat that made it more favorable for the CMU Chippewas, and that's total games played in the NBA by an alumnus. So the Western Michigan Broncos, very much third place in that at 1,057. Second place was the Eastern Michigan Eagles at 3,340. But the first place was the Central Michigan Chippewas with 3,720 games of NBA action for alums. So Chippewas win. Chippewas win everything, as usual, here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Also wanted to throw out the all-MAC in-state NBA player team out there for you guys, and a sixth man as well. Sorry, Western, you didn't have any single player make it. But the starting five, I'm going to put little Earl Boykins at point guard. Going to have George Gervin off the ball at shooting guard, both of the Eastern Michigan Eagles in the backcourt. We're going to put Dan Marley up to small forward. Kind of wings, modern NBA. We're going Gervin and Marley on the wings there. A nice little Thunder Dan edition from CMU. Love the Thunder Dan up from Traverse City. But so that's the kind of the wings and the backcourt there. Got Danny Roundfield from Central Michigan at the four spot, edging out our favorite Grant Long. We're going to have Grant Long as the sixth man for this team. But the man in the middle, of course, the caveman, Chris Kamen, my schoolmate up at Central Michigan University. I think I had a class with him, like a football or basketball coaching class or something like that. And just an amazing character, an amazing representation of the CMU Chippewas, a one-time All-Star in the NBA as well, carved out a long career for him. So that's the team. That's the team to watch out for. But thanks for indulging me on this Mid-American Conference exercise. If you got any feedback, I'd love to hear it. 810-666-1546. Some memories, or if you want to throw your U of D Titans in there, or Michigan and Michigan State, who's better, all that kind of stuff. Good times to come up with the Friday fun exercises that we do here. But as we always like to do, let's hit the Google voicemail line and talk to Brandon. Brandon, what do you got for us?
Hey, Matt, it's Brandon, frequent caller here, of course. Calling to say I also enjoyed the fight from the Pistons for some Milwaukee game. I was in the edge of my seat for the first 2.5 quarters. Really fun to watch. Calling in today regarding the Kid Rock comments that you made. I know you said, he drew the line in the sand, decided to go side with Trump, and then you said decided to side with racism. Clearly, Trump is easily hated in this country. I mean, the guy's a New Yorker. He says what's on his mind all the time, and it's easy to hate him, you know? Politics aside, to equate, in my opinion, to equate being a Trump supporter to supporting racism, that's not a very narrow line. It's a, you know, it's not, I don't think it's related whatsoever, because I know a lot of people, myself included, that support Trump that are not racist whatsoever. So that's my only take. Other than that, you know, I love your commentary. I love the show always. And we got different views, but I'll keep listening because you're the man. God bless you, brother.
Thanks so much to Brandon for the call. Appreciate you, too. Got much love for the listeners, and Brandon is one of our favorites as well. And, you know, obviously this is a nuanced discussion. To me, it's more about enabling than maybe necessarily being a racist or whatever. And obviously, this, we're not as equipped here on the Locked On Pistons podcast to deal with these kind of conversations, and I know that's not why you guys tune in. But, yeah, I did want to give Brandon, of course, his opportunity to give a little rebuttal, and if anyone else wants to quickly drop in on the debate, that's fine too. But yeah, we're not here to alienate any group of people, let alone the people that we disagree with politically or anything like that. But Brandon, I appreciate you, and thanks for calling. And nice to have a little, you know, minor little bit of discourse there, and we can all use some civility, of course, these days in this this culture and this climate that we're having and everything. But I appreciate you, and I appreciate all you guys for listening and indulging me a little bit with the Kid Rock stuff that we talked about the other day, if you want to go back and check that out. But thanks again to Brandon. Thanks again to everyone for indulging the Mid-American Conference talk. Enjoy the Pistons-Pacers tonight. We'll be back with a full slate of sports this weekend, obviously focusing on Pistons-Pacers, looking ahead to the Pelicans as well. Thanks to you guys so much for listening. Appreciate the listeners and the love so much. As always, spread the word this holiday season. And thanks again. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.